Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning takes place in the evening of that first Easter Sunday, and then again it picks up a week later. And as we read our text, you'll notice that there is a ton packed in here. There's a lot going on. From Jesus appearing to his disciples, there's reassurance, there's profession of faith, there's commands, there's the apostles being sent out, there's the office of the keys, there's doubting Thomas. All of this is packed into this text. As we look at all of this morning, we're going to talk about what it means for us today. How do these events impact my life and my faith? And the short answer that we're going to find through our text here this morning is that Jesus' resurrection enables us to live with peace. And that peace is a transformative peace, that it changes us. It changes how we view our life and how we live our life. So let's read our text here from the Gospel of John. We'll read beginning at verse 19 of chapter 20, and I invite you to please rise for the reading. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Dear Heavenly Father, these words are yours, and so we know that they are the truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. So we pick up this account of what happened on that Easter Sunday in the evening. Peter and John had heard that the women had seen something incredible, that the tomb was empty. They ran and they found that to be the case. And so now they've gathered together the other eight disciples with Peter and John. Because remember, there is no Judas and Thomas is not with them. So it's the 10 of them huddled up together discussing what all of this means, what they've seen, the rumors that they're hearing, the impact of it all. What does this mean for them? And they're doing this in secret, behind locked doors. They're terrified. They're scared. And that makes sense, right? Because the people who wanted to silence Jesus killed him, right? They went to those lengths to crucify Jesus, to have him put to death. And so it makes sense that his disciples would be afraid, that they would be in hiding. These Jewish leaders, they also understood what an impact it would make if Jesus rose from the dead, or even if it looked like Jesus had risen from the dead, if there was a conspiracy and a trick and someone stole his body. And so they took efforts to prevent that. They put soldiers in front of the tomb to make sure no one would steal his body. Obviously, we know that it didn't work. Jesus rose. So the Jewish leaders are still trying to keep a handle on this situation, and so they pay the guards to say the disciples came and stole the body. And so that's what the soldiers tell everyone. That's the rumor going around town. And so there's already false accusations. A conspiracy is brewing about the disciples. And so there's even more reason for them to be hiding, to be afraid. Now, I think that this attitude of wanting to be separate, wanting to keep our faith life separate from the rest of the world, from our normal life, is one that we share with the disciples a little bit. And obviously, it's not as extreme for us, right, to have to physically hide behind locked doors. But this desire to kind of keep our faith shut away, to not let it be seen, to keep it locked away and hidden, is a temptation that we face. It is a perfectly normal thing to be a little bit nervous, a little bit scared to speak up, to be nervous to invite people to church. You know, what if they come and they don't like how we do things here? What if they come and they don't appreciate what we preach and teach? What if the person that I invite to church is offended by the fact that we proclaim that the Bible calls sin, sin? That there are certain actions that God has said are detestable, and that no matter who you are, no matter what the situation is, that those actions are always wrong, that they're sinful. What if they're offended by the fact that we proclaim that Scripture teaches that there is one way to salvation, that it is only through faith in Jesus that we are saved, that if you follow another religion, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you, but you are also not on the path that God has specifically said leads to eternal life, and so other religions lead to hell? What if the people that I invite look down on me? And so this fear makes us stay quiet, and maybe not sin against God or go against what he has specifically told us to do, but it makes us stay quiet and be reserved when matters of faith come up, or when there's a golden opportunity for us to talk about the hope that we have, to point others to our Savior and their Savior in Jesus. We're tempted to hide that aspect of our life a little bit. So this is the attitude that the disciples had, but to the 10th degree. Right, and they're hiding behind locked doors. They're terrified of their physical well-being, of what people think of them, of the conspiracies, the rumors going around, and they're locked behind these closed doors in this upper room. But then suddenly, that fear is turned into bold and confident faith. How does this happen? How do these fearful followers turn into bold, confident believers who walk to the ends of the earth proclaiming Jesus' name? It's because of their Savior. It's because Jesus shows up and he says, "Peace be with you." And this is not like me telling you, "Have a good day." Right? Me telling you, "Have a good day," is not going to impact your day. It's not going to make it so that you have a better nap this afternoon after church. It's not going to make your task list shorter. It's not going to impact you. It's just a general wish of well-being to you. This is different. Right, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And then he shows them his hands and his feet. He shows them the wounds that were inflicted on him on the cross, proving that it's really him, proving that he is really, truly alive. And he says it again, "Peace be with you." Now, it's interesting because it doesn't seem like this phrase would change anything for them. Right? It seems like it would be the same as me saying, "Have a good day," because it doesn't make their problems go away either. The disciples are still locked in this upper room, fearing for their lives, right? They still have powerful religious leaders as their enemies who want to silence them and who successfully put their Savior and their Lord to death. And this problem still exists, and it's staring them in the face. So what peace is Jesus talking about? What peace is transformative for the disciples here? Jesus is talking about real peace, about peace that matters, the peace that we've named our entire church after, right? The peace that surpasses understanding, peace between us and God, a peace that was created by the wounds in Jesus' hands and feet that he shows them, by his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And again, I think that there's parallels for us here today, because Easter was awesome, right? Last week was fantastic. I heard it from so many people. What an amazing service Easter Sunday is, right? It was just incredible, from the sermon to the music, the songs that we sang, to breakfast, to the ambiance of joy and fellowship and rejoicing. It was so nice to go home last week after church knowing that our Savior is risen. But did it make our week any easier? Right? Did your kids behave better because we had Easter Sunday last week? Did it make a problem at work go away? Did it pay some of your bills? Of course not. So what actual practical impact does the resurrection have on me today, right now? The fact that my Savior lives, how does that change reality for me today? What it gives us is the same thing that it gave the disciples. It gives us peace. And with that peace comes the privilege of living every single day of our life, not in fear, but in bold and confident faith. When Jesus says, "Peace be with you," it is not like me saying, "Have a good day," because he actually gives to his disciples the peace that he wishes them to have. The victory that he won over sin, death, and the devil, the righteousness that he earned, the eternal life that is his by right, he says, "This now belongs to you through the connection that we have through faith." Jesus' resurrection proves that his payment on the cross was enough to pay for the sins of the whole world. Death gets its power from sin. Sin could not hold Jesus because in our Savior there was no sin. Him standing in front of them proves he truly is the Son of God. Since he lives, I too am going to live. I too will rise from my tomb and will see God with my own eyes as well. Seeing Jesus in front of them was proof to the disciples. Because of Jesus' work, I now have peace with God. Those who are connected to Christ through faith are no longer God's enemies. He no longer sees our sin. He no longer holds our guilt against us. We are forgiven. We don't have to live our lives trying to earn God's favor. We don't have to live our lives trying to work off every sin that we've ever committed. God looks at you and he says, "You are my dear child. You are holy, innocent, and righteous through what Jesus has done for you, and you will be with me forever in paradise." Jesus gives to them this peace, and then he breathes on them. The Spirit of God himself proceeds from Jesus into the disciples, and he makes this peace even more of a reality. He strengthens them in their faith. He encourages them in their spiritual gifts. He gives them the zeal, not just to feel this peace, but to live out that peace, to live their lives in the reality that Jesus is risen from the dead. And because of all of this, the men standing in that room were changed forever. They went from fearful followers to apostles. That word means one who is sent, and there's a lot of qualifications to be apostles, and one of them includes seeing Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, with your own eyes. And so we're not apostles, right? These men were. They saw Jesus with their own eyes, and then they were sent. They were sent out to proclaim the word, and they did it in boldness and confidence. They went to the far reaches of the world proclaiming Christ and him crucified, facing trial and temptation and hardship and even death, telling everyone that since Jesus died and rose, we have peace with God through faith in him. They went from acting out of fear to acting out of faith because of the real peace that the resurrection of Jesus brought to them. And it's easy for us to sit here and think, well, that's great for them, right? But what about us? We're not apostles, right? We were not in that room when Jesus appeared to these men. And so we don't have that same confidence, that same assurance in our risen Savior. And obviously, that makes sense too. That's fair because it made a big difference. We see here Thomas, who did not see it at first. We see his hesitancy. We see his doubts, his questions. And so it's interesting to think that, or to remember that, Jesus doesn't just say, "Well, Thomas, you failed me again," right? Like we talked about in our children's sermon. "Thomas, you let me down again. I proved to the disciples and it wasn't enough for them to tell you. You had to see me too." No, he's not interested in coming and being vindictive about it. Jesus' desire is for us to live with the peace that he's won for us. That was his mission. That was his entire goal, to win for us peace with God, and he wants us to live with that. And so he comes to Thomas too, and he says, "No, look, I'm going to give you proof. I'm going to show you that what the other apostles have said is true." There's an important lesson for us to remember in all of this about faith, a lesson that was true for Thomas and is true for us. And it's true for every single believer who has ever or will ever lived, and it's that no matter who you are, our faith is going to be imperfect. Right? As long as we are in these mortal bodies, the faith that we have will be imperfect. And it's imperfect in different ways, at different times, to different extents. But the faith with which we live will always be accompanied in some way by doubts and questions and hesitancy. And so part of why this is recorded for us in Scripture is for us to see somebody who walked with Jesus, who heard a firsthand account, struggle and wrestle with doubts, and then be reassured through the word of Jesus. And it's a reminder for us to remember that it's so important that faith is not something that we do. It's not the effort that we put in. It's not a good work that we do to prove that we're good enough for God. I'm going to dig down deep and believe so hard that God sees that I'm his disciple, and that's why I will be in heaven. Faith is a gift from God. It is God's work in us, and he works it in us because it's by this faith that we get access to the peace that Jesus won. It's by this faith that we are dressed in the righteousness that Jesus earned for us. The righteousness that we wear, it doesn't depend on the strength of our faith. We don't have to be at a certain level for God to say, yes, you are my dear child. It doesn't mean that there's only a certain number of doubts that we can have in our life before he cuts us off forever. When we as Christians struggle with doubt and we have hesitancy, when there are questions in our mind, one of the worst things that we can do is shove them aside and say, I shouldn't be doing this. Shame on me. Why would I doubt the words of my God? I need to focus on trying really hard to believe. I need to focus on my faith and try really hard and put in a ton of effort. When we struggle with doubts and questions, instead of focusing on our faith and treating it like an act of effort, focus on your Savior. Right? Go back to God's word, where we see our Savior on the cross dying for our sins, the Son of God and the Son of Man, making the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate payment that earned us reconciliation, that earned us peace with him. Go back to the word and look at through the eyes of faith, Jesus' hands and feet, the wounds there, and know that through faith you can be as certain as Thomas was. Even though our eyes have not seen the resurrected Lord, we can say with as much certainty and confidence and look at Jesus and say, my Lord and my God. It is through Jesus that we have that peace. And that peace means that we are living for heaven. That's what changed for the disciples. That's what makes this peace a transformative peace. Their lives were changed because they knew that the Messiah was not coming to create an earthly kingdom. They knew that at that moment that they were members of the kingdom of God as they stood in that upper room at that very moment. And the peace that they felt changed how they lived. They knew that no matter what happened in their life, in their earthly life, that they would be with their Savior, their Lord, in paradise. And this wonderful promise has been given to us as well. Because of the peace of our resurrected Lord, you are living for heaven. And this changed how the disciples lived. They went into the world and they weren't reckless, but they also weren't afraid. And so as we go into our lives, when we wear our faith in our sleeves, as we invite coworkers to church and maybe we're shot down, as we talk to our neighbors and we reveal more about the faith, the hope on which we have built our entire life, we remember that the same spirit that goes with the disciples, that went with the disciples, goes also with you. The same message of victory that they proclaimed, the victory of Jesus, the same gospel of undeserved love and forgiveness is shared through our lips. It's the same message. And the power is in the message. It's in the word of God that the disciples carried with them. The power is not in us. It's not in our ability to communicate clearly. It's not in our ability to be extra convincing to somebody as we're talking about our faith. The power is in the message, and we have the message, the same gospel that the apostles brought to the ends of the earth. We have it, and we can share it. So don't be afraid to be known for your faith. Don't be afraid to talk about your faith. Don't make it seem like we need to make it sound more palatable to our world, to our society. You can tell people that the simple truth of the good news of what Jesus has done for us. You have been given this wonderful message of peace. Jesus rose from the dead. After paying for our sins on the cross, through him we have peace, and all those, and only those who have faith in him, who trust in him for that salvation, will be with him forever in heaven. That is the simple form of the gospel, right? The good news that through faith we have heaven. This is the good news that takes away fear. It doesn't eliminate it completely. We still on in these earthly bodies are scared of things. We still get nervous as we're talking about faith, but we know that Jesus has won for us everything, and that what he won for us, he won for us specifically and personally. Since we know that we are God's sons and daughters through faith, we know what our future holds. We know that we too, no matter what happens in this life, that we are living for heaven. And so we can live in faith instead of fear. We have the privilege of living our life now and here in confident, joyous faith because of the peace that Jesus has won for us. Amen. Please rise for the blessing. The peace which surpasses all understanding will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Please remember